There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Calcaterra moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in!
Smitty.
He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it. And stayed in.
Smitty is unbelievable.
I don't know how he did it either. Great call by Merrill. What a throw by Jalen to a spot, Hugh, that only Devontae could catch it back of the end zone. And to get Hugh to catch that ball with one hand and get both feet in, that was a remarkable play by Devontae Smith yesterday.
Oh, there's no question about that, man. I was waiting to see, because I was like, I know he couldn't have caught that. He couldn't have been in bounds, because we just saw a play. It was what, Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh, where if something was similar.
Yep.
But Schmitty got both feet down. He dragged his feet, and I was like, "Wow, that was phenomenal."
Oh, I think the one in Pittsburgh you're referencing is I think it was Pickens got the same foot in twice. He got his either right or left. He tapped it twice, but the other foot never got in.
Yeah.
So that didn't count. Look, Devontae's ability to get those feet in and to hold the ball, and that's a big time throw by Jalen. Jalen's ability to throw the deep pass is outstanding. I think it's the best thing he does is throw the ball with touch and timing down the field to his guys, give him a chance to make a play. All right, let's talk to the guy that was on the call yesterday for a wild win over Doug and the Jaguars. We all thought they'd win the game, and then it looked kind of easy, and then it wasn't easy by the end. Eagles do get to 6-2, and joining us right now to talk about it, as he does every Monday, is Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys. You know, you're talking about the play, the great play by Devontae Smith. Last week, I think it was Thursday Night Football, Garrett Wilson made a tremendous catch against Houston when the Jets beat them. And Al Michaels was raving about that, and they compared it to the catch by Odell Beckham years ago, that famous catch. But I'm telling you, this was right up there with them. To do that one-handed, get both feet in, absolutely remarkable. And I still can't figure out how he did it.
Yeah, it was great. Speaking of remarkable, Merrill, the play by Saquon Barkley. I mean, just hearing ex-players, Merrill, like Mike with you in the booth, Hugh today, you know, everywhere, you know, you watch TV this morning chiming in. It's remarkable, Merrill, when I hear players say they've never seen a running back do that. Like, they play against these guys. They were these guys in the case of Shady McCoy. Merrill, what was it like to call that the play that we'll talk about for years to come with Saquon yesterday?
Yeah, I've never seen anybody hurdle somebody backwards. I mean, I think you have to have a diving board to do that. But how he did that and how he moved, it's instinctive and it's athletic. He's just a great, great running back. Great, great athlete.
He is, and he's been a big part of what they've done so far this year. He's an Offensive Player of the Year candidate. So, Merrill, the offense is looking better, and a big reason for that, of course, is Jalen Hurts. Four straight turnover-free games. His passer rating has been well over 100 all 4 weeks. Merrill, what are you noticing with Jalen? Because it's not just one or two games now. It's a full month where he's gone back to looking consistently like the guy we know he could be.
You know, Joe, I don't like to say I told you so, but I have never fallen off the bandwagon with Jalen Hurts. I have liked him from the very beginning, and I saw what he went through earlier in the season, but I thought it was a product of not having the game action during the preseason. I always say the September games are like an extension of the preseason, that and the fact that, once again, he has an entirely different offensive system. So it takes a while to evolve, but as it evolves, it matches his talent, and he is making the most of it.
He is. It's been a great run for him, and the offense is turned around. And then that defense, Merrill, every week it feels like they get better. I know Jacksonville got to 23 points yesterday, but obviously their defense scored. So you kind of look at it what the Eagles defense did again yesterday, holding another team, you know, into the teens.
Yeah, there were 7 points that didn't belong. I mean, I still to this day do not believe that was a fumble by Saquon Barkley. I think he was touched. I think it was obvious that he was touched. And then his elbow hit the ground, and the ground caused the fumble. They ruled it a fumble. I think it was, even though they replayed it, even though they looked at it because it was a turnover, I think they got it wrong.
It was a weird play. Even though, and then they put the report out afterwards, Merrill, explaining themselves. It didn't even make any sense because they said he first contacted, he got contacted, but then he stumbled into a lineman. But Merrill, the reason he stumbled into his own lineman, the way I viewed it, was because he was contacted.
Was tripped.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a bizarre call. And then to double down on it, it was just kind of an odd thing. And it did change the game there and led the Jaguars back in it. Merrill, another reason the Jaguars were able to kind of creep back in was because the Eagles kept leaving points out there when they could have made different decisions. Merrill, a lot of moments yesterday, whether it be, you know, penalties that moved them from the 2 to 1 so they decided to go for 2 or just going for 4th downs instead of field goals. What did you make of the aggressiveness? I mostly usually like that, Merrill, but yesterday to me felt like a day where if you get, you know, up 3 or more scores, the Jaguars probably don't have enough to come back. I was surprised with how aggressive the Eagles were trying to add those extra points.
Well, they were trying to be aggressive, and I thought at halftime I was a little bit worried, and I said to Mike, I said, you know, just one extra point would have made it a three-score game. I mean, they were up 16-0 at the half. They get one extra point at 17 points, and that's a big difference in this game. So it ended up fine, but there were some things that were questionable about that aggressiveness.
Yeah, it did end up fine, in part because they caused some turnovers. And then the linebackers, Merrill, first time since the pickle juice game, since the Eagles had 2 linebackers in the same game with an interception. How about N'Kobe, Merrill, at the end making that play? It feels like he's really growing in front of us here.
Well, the linebackers, the linebackers. You know, going into the season, if you were to say, what are the Eagles' question marks? I think you would have said the linebacker department. And N'Kobe's all over the field making plays. And then yesterday, once again, Zach Bourne. If Zach Bourne isn't the defensive player of the week in the NFC, I don't know who is. Because he just did everything you could possibly do. He made numerous tackles. He made an interception. He batted down balls. He was just absolutely spectacular. But N'Kobe Dean continues to grow and become a major factor.
He is, and now 6-2, Merrill, as the Eagles head to Dallas for a big one on Sunday. This season is moving in the right direction. Merrill, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch up next week, hopefully after a win over the Cowboys.
Hopefully another sunny Monday.
Yes. Thank you, Merrill.
See you guys.
There he goes, Merrill Reese. And he's right about those linebackers. They're getting good linebacker play. Last year they got bad linebacker play, and this year it's flipped back around with N'Kobe and Bond.
Yeah, man, they're getting comfortable. They look good, man. And I gave N'Kobe a shot this morning, just sent him a fist pump. I mean, he played well. I mean, I sent a tweet out, a text, a tweet, whatever you want to call it, a twit.
It's not a twit.
Yeah, twit. We'll settle with twit.
Okay.
That's fine.
I mean, it's not that, but we call it.
Give him his props. Just give him his props today.
Some days we fight you on little things. Some days we just let it go.
Yeah. We have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, we got Sirianni to fry. We got a win to take care of. We also, Hugh, let's take a call here, and then we got to tell everyone about something big. Something big we got going on the Midday Show starting tomorrow. Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's up?
Terry, what are you feeling today?
Did we forget that we have a kicker that can actually kick a ball and get us the easy points?
I think we did forget that, at times yesterday. Yep.
But you asked him to kick when it was put him in a tough spot.
Right, you freeze him all game, and you say, come hit a 57-yarder.
Yeah, tough spot.
Yeah. Can we take the points? I mean, come on. Is it that hard to go take these? I understand being aggressive and being too aggressive, but there's a point in time not to be too aggressive.
Well, there is, Terry, people earlier were saying, well, he follows the analytics, but his job is to make the right decision. His job isn't, like, I could follow the sheet if you just tell me what the sheet says. He's got to be able to read the room, read his team. And, Terry, if they're playing the Chiefs, they're playing the Bills, they're playing the Lions, and you know the game's going to be in the upper 20s, early high 30s, low 30s, then all right, then get every point you can. But yesterday, it's the Jaguars. They couldn't put together 4 scoring drives if their life depended on it. So just take the points.
I'll tell you what, if we lost to the Jaguars, we'd be all singing a different tune this morning. We let our heads down pretty low.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, of course. I mean,
that would be embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed being a fan for today, a couple of days.
Yeah, it would. I mean, Terry, it's a good call. I mean, Hugh, that Jaguars team stinks. I mean, that Trevor Lawrence is not very good. He was built to be a generational player. He didn't look like it.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing for him was the fact that on the drive that they did actually move the ball, he didn't do nothing to help the drive. It was helped by a PI, and that's what moved the ball down the field. It was unfortunate that we were in this position, and that's the thing that you look at. Again, glad we got the win. We're 6-2, and we look like we are on a collision course with the Commodores. I'm not overlooking the Dallas Cowboys in no way, shape, or form, but there are some things that we have to clean up in order to get ready for that game.
Oh, they are on a collision course with the Commanders.
Collision.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. I mean, we got ourselves a next Thursday, not this one, but the one after. That game, the two Commanders games are going to decide who wins this division and who's going to have to fight for a wild card. I mean, the game is huge. All right, coming up here, before we go any further, you know we got to tell everyone about you.
What you got?
Something we got going on tomorrow on the Midday Show. You know what tomorrow starts? Tomorrow starts the biggest promotion we've ever done.
In life.
Well, I don't know about life, but certainly on, there's been some big promotions in life.
Down. No, I'm just saying in the life of this show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. In the life of the current Midday Show. Yes. Yeah. You know, I didn't understand where you're going with it. Okay. Yes. Biggest promotion we've ever done in our life as a Midday Show. So we have a 10-day promotion starting tomorrow where you have a chance to win awesome daily prizes and an amazing grand prize package courtesy of Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey and Gerhard's Appliances. We'll share all the details tomorrow, but I just want everyone out there that listens and if you're a daily listener, just start thinking of your favorite combinations. That's a little homework today, all right? And we'll tell you tomorrow what is on the line, how we're going to do this, but we're going to call this CombOcon. We start tomorrow.
CombOcon.
Here we had our friends from Jack Daniel's today.
They dropped us off a care package.
Yes, they did.
You know how much I like my brown liquor. I like brown liquor.
Not only that, I mean, they left us a gift out in the hallway, and you grabbed it all. I didn't think you could fit all the, like, five bottles in your hand, and you ran in here just to make sure that it was, you know, make sure it's yours.
No, yeah, listen. The one thing that you all know about me, especially since I've been here, I don't play about my liquor.
I know you don't.
And when, you know, there's an opportunity to get, you know, some liquor, I'm going to go ahead and take that.
Well,
I'm going to get them bottles.
We appreciate the hostility, you know, them coming in today and meeting us. And we can't wait to start this tomorrow. CombOcon starts tomorrow on the Midday Show. It's a 10-day giveaway leading to a grand prize. We'll tell you all about it. But just think of your favorite combinations, and we'll tell you how we're giving away some special, special prizes over the next couple weeks here on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Joe Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey,
what up, man?
Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Man, Sirianni, he's going to cost us a playoff game one day, a Super Bowl. This guy is the definition of doing too much. If you're up 22-0, what are you going for? What is the need of a two-point conversion? And I believe he froze Jake Elliott yesterday by not, because the kicker goes for an extra point that warms him up. I believe he froze Elliott on that kick yesterday. And to go for it on three two-point conversions back-to-back-to-back is like, it's asinine to me. I feel like this guy wants the spotlight for some reason. I feel like he's trying to prove something. And it's going to cause us. I feel like at times Sirianni is messing up this team's identity. He's the cause of it. And I'm convinced last year it was him, a part of that lost the players in the locker room based on his decision-making. And it's the reason him and Jalen Hurts were butting heads because some of the decisions this guy makes. And he's all over the place. Like, you have to, if they're going to go for a fourth down, keep that same philosophy. Don't all of a sudden go on fourth down want to try to do some trickery and do an outside push to us.
Oh, like, Terrence, I'm glad you said it. Right. I'm glad you said it too about the kicker and right. about freezing. Like, here's the thing: if you're going for all those fourth downs, if you're going for the 2-point conversions, then keep right. the foot on the gas. But it's a when he went for the field goal and he had froze Elliott already, and it's a 5-point game. Like, at that point, the best you could do is still only be up one score. Like, that was the spot
Absolutely.
Where, go for it. End the game. Don't give the ball back to Jacksonville.
And, Joe, in the press conference, he says he has to have the ball to make tough decisions. How are you making a tough decision if you're up 17 points going for 2 points? Like, I don't get it. That's not a tough decision. It's stupidity at its finest. And I don't know what he's trying to prove. And he's trying to, like, sometimes somebody can be so – like, I had a boss before – and I always say this, some people can be so smart that they can be dumb. And Sirianni's a person that he's so smart that he's dumb at times. and he does dumb things. And
crazy
I don't
like
get
a fox.
It with this guy.
Yeah, I don't, like, Terrence. I
he wants to be the smartest person in the room, and sometimes he looks stupid doing it.
Yeah, sometimes just get out of the way. He got a lot, and good call, Terrence. He got a lot of credit the last few weeks by getting out of the way, right? We didn't talk about his in-game decisions the last few weeks, and for the most part, everyone liked him. He starts interjecting himself in the game, and it becomes a disaster. 215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls coming up. What hit you the most from yesterday's victory? How well the players played in a win, or Nick Sirianni's decision-making? We'll do a big, huge breakdown of all of Sirianni's pivotal decisions in the game coming up in a little bit. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Cap off NFL Week 9 with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. Let's go with Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 pass touchdowns. Cade Otton anytime score, and I will take the Chiefs and the points to cover the game. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think this is the only legit playoff contender where the coach is a question mark. The coach is a question mark. No coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. It's unacceptable that they continue. And beyond lucky that Trevor Lawrence throws that interception. Because if Trevor Lawrence leads their team down and they win that football game, I don't think Nick Sirianni's walking in Tuesday morning as the head coach of the football team.
Woo! Dan Orlovsky brought it this morning there.
Brought that fire.
Well, I mean, it's a strong way to say it. The way he framed it, no coach in the NFL takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. 9 yesterday. Hugh Douglas, 9 points. And I understand the idea he was trying to chase some, right, because they didn't get the first conversion. He's trying to get the second. But sometimes, don't you just need to have the coach take a deep breath? Like, hey, all right, we missed that one. Let's just put one on the board here.
You do something different.
Yeah.
But he doubled down. He was going out his way. Regardless of what happened, Coach Sirianni, I should say, give him the respect that he just do. He decided to do it the way that he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he was being aggressive. And it didn't work. And it had me scratching my head, especially the first one. Had me scratching my head.
You're talking about the one when they're up 16-0?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're sitting on the field, and I'm trying to figure out, because at that point, we're looking at the box score.
Yep.
Because it was on the field. It was on the Jumbotron. They had like 32 yards total offense.
They couldn't move the ball the whole half.
No, the whole – and I'm like, why are you going for two? Just take the one and keep it moving, because they're not moving the ball. And I remember Troy said, man, they got 32 yards. dog, they got 32 yards in the first half.
Like, the idea is that team has no chance. Just stack the points and get out with a victory. All right, 215-592-9494. For 10 minutes from now, a big Hugh breakdown. The way I saw it yesterday, there were 5 critical Nick Sirianni decisions. Actually, 6. We'll go with 6 critical Nick Sirianni decisions. 9 points could have been on the board if he did something different. Chose to do it the way he did. We'll go through the 6 of the decisions with Hugh coming up in about 10 minutes. His take on all of them and which ones kind of drove us the most nuts and which ones are defensible. I don't think they were all ridiculous, but in total, it's like watching a gambler and every one they just get wrong. Even if the idea was right, it's just loss, 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 and then you chase it. All right, Jabbo in Horsham's up. Hey, Jabbo.
We all need to relax. We are 6-2 on a 4-game winning streak. Okay, it's not how, it's how many. I mean, come on. How many teams right now would love to be 6-2?
Bunch of them.
Did you say this last year at 10-1, Jabbo, or did I imagine last season at 10-1?
We're not talking last year. We're talking right now.
But the point is, the point is. The record in early November, that doesn't matter. It's the details. How are you getting there?
And that was in the details.
The issue last year was they weren't as good as their record. The issue this year is they have talent. Their talent is really good. It's better talent than last year. The coach is making mistakes left and right.
How about if you're 2-6 right now? Does that matter?
But they're not
2-6. Yes, it does, but we're not. We're 6-2.
Did you like the way the coach coached yesterday?
No, I didn't.
All right,
but we won, so everybody just shut up. Everybody, come on.
I guess that if we adopt that philosophy, Joe, then we ain't gonna have nothing to talk about today.
He's not getting fired. And you, one thing too, I was listening earlier. It's the Commanders, not the Commodores.
Hey, Jabbo,
he's right, Hugh.
Jabbo, this ain't my first radio. I know what I'm saying. I'm a grown ass man. I call them the Commodores. You call them the Commanders. I call them the Commodores.
Jabbo, anything else we screwed up?
You'd
like to correct?
I didn't know. I just thought, you know, you call him the Commodore.
No, I call him the Commodores. Yeah.
Jabbo, let me ask you a question. If Nakobe doesn't catch the ball and they lose that game,
what's your sentiment this
morning? Everything the same is the same.
But Nakobe did catch the ball.
We did this last year. This is why I point back to last year.
Joel.
We did this last year. We sat here like idiots with our heads in our you know where, and we said, oh, this doesn't matter. Look at the record. And then we came crashing down, Jabbo. We got to get better at the coach position. He's got to be better than this.
Hey, you, one more thing.
Yes.
Still there?
You're here. We're here, Jabbo. What's up?
Okay. You also said crazy like a fox.
Oh,
it's
my goodness
like
gracious.
Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
I don't give a shit.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy like a fox, Jabbo. It was
Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
No, Jabbo. It was a show back in the day. It was called Crazy Like a Fox. You must, like, I watched a lot of TV growing up.
Really?
It was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
1984, 1986, yep.
Are you making that up?
No.
No.
Jabbo, I'm going to check you right now. Call
Jabbo,
you back.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
It might sound like I make
Jack
up.
Jack Warden was in that. I love Jack Warden.
I pretend. But yeah, it was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
You got to go find that. You got to stream that, Jabbo. Jabbo.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now.
You go stream Crazy Like Fox. Jabbo, good phone call. I mean, listen, there's no reason not to be excited about where the team is going. I think it's okay Jabbo said that. And then that's part of it. They have won four in a row. They did dominate the game in a lot of ways yesterday. Kyle brought it up. I mean, the game probably shouldn't have been as clear. That's the point. That's why there's some frustration out there, because we all watched the game, right? The Eagles were so much better than the Jaguars snap to snap. You said it, Hugh. They had 30 yards or whatever at halftime. Like, they dominated the box score. They had over 200 more yards. They had three or four players on the offense that are better than all the Jaguars players combined. They should have won this game by three scores.
Yeah.
Instead, we're biting our nails with a minute to go.
Yeah, and it was some questionable plays. Like, it was one play where they were trying to go for the first down, and they were going for a passing play. And Jalen Hurts is back there. There were no receivers open. And he's back there scrambling for his life. It was one of those games where you're happy you got the win. But like I said earlier, as a former player, you look at it and you're like, okay, what if you always do the what ifs? If we're playing a better team, then we don't get those opportunities. We gotta take advantage of the opportunities that we have, because to make the mistakes that we've made and to chase the points that we were chasing, that could put us in a bad spot.
So what was Crazy Like a Fox about? Was that they solved crimes?
You know, I don't remember. They were like detectives.
It was the father and son. They were detectives.
Yeah, they were detectives.
And their name were Fox, right? Harry Fox and Harrison Fox.
And the premise is they didn't seem like they were that bright, but actually they were pretty good at solving crimes and stuff. So that's what it was about.
So is Sirianni the opposite? Where he didn't?
No, Sirianni is crazy like a fox. What he's doing now, I don't. It's not lost on me that Coach Sirianni, for whatever we think about him, it's 6-2, and this team loves him. But I'm not in that building, so it's not my job to sit here and pound the drum for Coach Sirianni. I'm giving you the perspective as a former player, somebody that's played the game, and you're looking at it, and you're saying to yourself, this formula, although they're winning with it, this formula might not – it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not a sustainable formula when you're going out there making egregious mistakes, leaving 9 points on the board. But at the same time, like I said, as a former player, you look at him, hey, man, we got to win. Bottom line, that's how everybody in that building feels. I'm not in that building. I don't work for the Eagles. I work for Odyssey. And my job is to tell you what I see and how it is, and try to explain to you to the best of my ability what potentially is going on in that building.
So Jabbo got upset because I brought up last year. I actually think this is similar but way different than last year. Last year, I didn't even think they were that good. Like, despite the record, I didn't think the team, the players, were that good. I just thought it was a bad defense, and the offense was too up and down, and I just felt like, how could they continue to win?
Mm-hmm.
This year, Hugh, the more you watch it, this is a good roster. They have a lot of really good players. They have impact players. The defense is getting better, and they're growing. The concern now is, will the coach screw up what should be a lot? They have a lot of games down the stretch they should win, right?
Yeah.
Now, the next month is tough, but they'll play Carolina in December. They'll play the Giants. They'll play a Cowboys team that might just not be good at all twice. They got to make sure they don't blow games. And every time you watch Sirianni, you're like,
And just look at it
blow
from,
a game?
Look at it from this perspective. We went through a week of the last 4 weeks. We won 4 football games.
Yep.
We're on a roll. But think about the roller coaster ride we've been on with our head coach. He has his Britney Spears moment. He bounces back from that, and this team against the Cincinnati Bengals looks like they're on a trajectory where, you know, we're playing eastbound and south, south down and bound, getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. You know, and I'm feeling strong about that. We come back this week, and even though we won and the quarterback played well, there are still some things that reared their ugly head that got everybody a little bit concerned. Now, I'm still on board with the Super Bowl east, southbound, and down and all other stuff. But I think that since what we've been through last year, it's kind of foolish to just sit here and think that everything is okay. Because we've seen this. We've been down this road before as fans. We saw the collapse towards the end of the season. So to sit here and just say, oh, you know what? It's a win. That's fine. It is a win. But let's not be foolish to what happened last year. Because we saw it happen last year, and we stuck our head in the sand. Hell, we went to Tampa Bay, and we stuck our head in the sand, and we calling in, talking, oh, they're going to blow Tampa Bay Buccaneers out, yada, yada, yada. And we got our asses kicked. We don't want to live that again. That's why people are not happy about what they saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the NFL in general, just the games are too close for him not to matter.
Exactly.
Right? Like, as we come down the stretch of the season, they're going to be a lot better than some teams that they play, like the Giants or, you know, whoever. The Panthers we'll see in December. There's also going to be a lot of games. Maybe the Commanders game, the Rams game, the Ravens game, the Steelers game, and then whoever they play, you know, assuming they're going to be in the playoffs, where the game's going to be tight. And it's going to come down to a couple decisions here or there, when to be super aggressive, when to not. And it's very hard to have faith in the coach when it feels like...
Ask yourself this question, Joe.
I don't know what he's doing.
Ask yourself this question. If Andy Reid was on the other sideline coaching, and we made those egregious mistakes, do we come out with a victory with that game?
No.
Not taking a shot at Dougie P, but Dougie P is under fire right now down there in Jacksonville. And I saw a meme the other day where... You know the Spider-Man meme where everybody's pointing at each other?
Yeah.
It was Doug and Coach Sirianni, like two of the same. They're both in a situation where they had a tremendous amount of success early on, and now everybody's starting to question whether or not, you know, what's going on. So I think it's fair to ask a question. If Andy Reid, if Sean McVay, if who's the other? Sean Payton on the other sideline, and we're playing those teams or playing those guys – do you think we still come out with a win?
No, probably not. Yeah, I think we're a couple weeks away. You know how we've done the run the ball chance? We're a couple weeks away from the take the points chance at the lane.
Hell, I would even throw Dan Quinn in there. Coach Quinn.
Well, they're going to see him in 2 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Do we win that game? Because that quarterback they got down there, bona fide, looked like. He looked like he's bona fide.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence handing the ball to the Eagles at the end. That was a bad throw by Lawrence. It helped us get out with a win. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's do a little Big Hugh breakdown and go through, because the way I viewed it, there were six decisions yesterday by Sirianni that we could debate whether or not they were terrible, okay, not great. Hugh, let me throw them at you one by one.
Okay.
And then we'll kind of go through, did we think this was really bad, questionable, or were you okay with it? All right, let's start with the first one. They're up 10-0, 4th-and-3, and they, instead of going for the field goal, this is the second quarter, they go for the 4th. That's where Jalen threw it to AJ, and he kind of floated it, and it was knocked down by the defender. So instead of going up 13-0 on what would have probably been a 40-yard field goal.
4th-and-3.
4th-and-3. They throw it to AJ, incomplete. So instead of going up 13-0 on a field goal, it's 10-0.
I feel like in that situation, this is me. The way that Saquon Barkley was on a heater, I take my chance with him with the three carries.
So the three-yard carry. So you didn't mind going for it. You just would have done something different.
I would have done something a little different. I'd have done something a little different in that situation.
All right. I would have kicked the field goal. But, all right, they want to be super aggressive. They
I mean, because that's kind of who Coach Sirianni is, so I really didn't have a problem with that.
So, but that was 3 points that could have been there that just weren't there. Mm-hmm. Next one, this is the one you brought up a couple times. Right before the half, there's a flag on the extra point. So I think this is the one where they literally took a point off the board, right? Mm-hmm. Because the extra point went through by Elliott. It was 17-0. Flag on the play. They move the ball up to the 1 yard line. Now you can go for two easier. They go for it, Hugh. They don't get it. So the score stays 16-0. That one is one I think you were shaking your head like,
well, I didn't understand that one. To be honest, I was looking at that play, and I was trying to figure out what analytics is telling you to go for that two-point play in that situation when you're already up 16 points and that offense has not been moving the ball. And that's the main reason why the first one, I didn't feel like it was a bad situation. I felt like you should have went for it because that offense at that point was inept.
So, all right. You asked what analytics. I think it's as simple as this. When there's a penalty and the ball is moved to the one, it becomes a much easier two-point conversion, right? You could do a lot of different plays and just get 1 yard, including the tush push. So I get why he was probably inclined to do it. But that's where you got to read the room. Go up three scores. They've had 32 yards the whole game. All right, that was number two. So now at this point, we have 4 points off the board. The third decision here that I believe is the one most people were the most annoyed about. The Eagles go up 22-0. Unnecessary roughness on the Cisco guy in the second round. He takes out Fred Johnson's legs. Again, that was one where they moved the ball to the 1 yard line. Hugh, they could have had a 23-0 lead. They said they go for the two. They don't get it, so it's 22-0. Now, the fourth decision, this is what I meant. This is the one people are most bad about. Jaguars cut it to 22-16. So, at this point, 5 points Sirianni's kind of responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars cut it to 22-16. Fourth down try, 1:25 left in the third. They throw the ball. This is why I think where Jalen was pressured and he kind of runs
backwards. Running around, yeah.
So that's one where they could have kicked
the
field goal.
Nobody was open. That was a bad
They could have went up 9 points. They could have went up two scores again. Mm-hmm. And instead, they went for it. Kyle, I think that's the one, and you were probably the least of us today frustrated at Sirianni. That was the one I think got you, the 22-16, not going for the field goal?
Yeah, I mean, that just feels like so I'm never the kind of guy like, if you're going to be aggressive, always be aggressive. Or if you're going to be conservative, always be conservative. I think you need to have a feel for the moment and what each moment requires. In that moment, I felt the best thing for them was to make it a two-possession game. I mean, the going for it there or whatever. I mean, if you kick a field goal, you make it 9 points.
Yep.
And that puts it at a two-possession game. I just felt like that was the biggest one for me where I'm like, all right, dude, you know, that's not a time where you need to be aggressive and say, I trust the guys. Like, just get 9 points. You're leaking a little bit. You can sort of bring the momentum back in your favor or at least take it from the Jags. That one I didn't like.
So the devil's in the details for me, Hugh. If the Jaguars had scored on two offensive possessions in a row and you feel like their offense is revving up, maybe I get going for it. But one of those touchdowns was a defensive score, right? The Jaguars' offense really didn't get going game.
They didn't. And it was one of those things where you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out. Like, I'm not advocating to fire Coach Sirianni. I'm trying to understand analytics in this situation. I'm trying to understand what in this moment made you feel with this offense that was anemic as it was, made you feel like those were the right decisions to make in this moment.
So the fifth one, and this is probably the one I was least annoyed about, was when they scored the touchdown, the Devontae touchdown, right, to go up 28-16. I get why he went for two there, because you want to try to go up two scores again.
Yeah,
right?
I get that one.
Yeah, you want to go up 14. Now, they didn't get it, so it stayed a 12-point game. So those are the five decisions. You add it all up, it would have been 9 extra points if he just did it simply. Now, the last one, what did you think about the field goal by Jake Elliott, Hugh? Now, that wasn't one where he took points off the board. He tried to put points on the board. But that was a weird spot. That's a long field goal. He hadn't kicked much the whole game.
The whole game.
And they're up 5, right? So the field goal does not put you up 2 scores. You're still only up 8. You don't necessarily definitely win the game by making that field goal. Would you have kicked the field goal? Would you have punted? You could have punted.
I would have punted it. I would have tried to like what they call the directional punt and try to pin them as close as I possibly could to the end zone and do it that way. I didn't understand that. That's when it gets a little crazy for me because you're trying to kick the field goal. And if I'm not mistaken, you say 5, it'll get you 3. That's math.
8.
And if they'd have went for 2, we'd have been in a bad spot.
You only guarantee a tie at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, the other thing there is they could have went for that. After all the aggression, there's 3 options, right? Hugh said punt. They did go for the field goal. If they go for it, then they get the first down. They end the game. The Jaguars never get the ball back.
Yeah. I guess the thing about kicking the field goal there is if you don't get it, then the way that the defense was playing, I'm almost okay with taking the shot to try and get points there. I know by that point they'd let up that touchdown, and it was, well, 2 touchdowns, I guess, right? Because one of them was scored from their defense. But I did like the way the defense was playing enough to where you're like, I don't really care how much of the field the Jags have. Like, I can put my defense out there and trust them to make a stop.
No, it was one of those, but it's still, even with that being said, Kyle, you still was like, because we've been through that before. It was a little nerve wracking.
Well, I think this is the second time this season they've kind of iced Elliott, right? Where they don't use him for a while, and then they ask him to come in for it's not a 37-yard. It's not even 40. 57 is, that's a long field.
I know.
Goal.
Well, like, look,
nice and long.
We talk about Jalen Hurts getting paid and you know, taking his foot off the gas a little bit. This guy Jake Elliott, man. He's not nailing those 50-yarders this season like he had in the past.
He's not. Too much golf for Jake Elliott or something? I don't know.
He golfed too much.
He did not lock in this offseason. Yeah, he got the paycheck and took off.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But 6 decisions by Sirianni that were wild yesterday. I think 3 of them were probably justifiable. 3 I thought were just bad. Violet's in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet. What's up?
Well, I agree with everything y'all said. I can see maybe going for 1 or 2 of those when we had the lead, and maybe he's thinking, hey, you know, it's good practice. But once they started getting back in the game, you need to take the points. I mean, you know, you can't mess around, especially when it comes down to when we play better teams, you have to take the points. But I'm really excited about the defense. Jalen is looking great. Barkley, oh my God, I don't even know where he came from.
He's special, yeah. Violet. They have some special players. I mean, I'm glad that's the reason to be excited. I mean, because they have players that if they play at their capability, Hugh, this team can make a real run.
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, I'm still bullish on this team, no question about it. And I'll take a win as a win all day long. I'm taking that.
I do want to say, Mr. Douglas, it is such an honor to be able to call and actually talk to you. I absolutely adore you. You're such an awesome player. I'm so glad you're an Eagle.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Violet, good call. We appreciate it. How about that?
Appreciation. Oh, she was gushing right there.
I know. You know, Kyle and I don't seem to have the same feeling every day when we talk to you.
No, the shine's worn off.
Yeah. Now you just
he's just one of the guys.
All the different kinds
just
of hues we
of
have
guys.
In here.
Yeah, just one of the guys.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Good call, Violet. All right, on the other side, your phone calls here. Plus, we got to hear from a couple of players. What happened? I mean, what happened? Was it just Sirianni, or were the players, you know, obviously partially responsible for the comeback by the Jaguars yesterday that made it such a close game? We'll hear from a couple of players what Lane Johnson and Zach Bond said about the end of that game. Howard Eskin joins us at noon. What hit you the most from yesterday? The Eagles winning and a lot of their stars playing really well? Or Nick Sirianni and the decision-making? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at noon, Howard Eskin. We'll get to some of the other extracurriculars around town coming up a little bit later in the show. And maybe a potential Eagle that could be moving out of here with the trade deadline tomorrow all coming up. But what happened in that second half? Why did the Jaguars get back in the game? Obviously, Sirianni's decision-making, taking some points off the board, part of it. Also, the Eagles had some tough moments in terms of, you know, they had the fumble, which led to the touchdown. You know, some weird things happened in that game. Let's hear from a couple players on maybe what went down second part of that game and why they got back in it. Or let's hear from Lane Johnson on maybe how the Eagles should have scored a lot more than they did.
I felt like we left, you know, should have been a 40-point game. And I felt like the yards that we attained should have been a reflection of that. But it goes down to scoring points. It doesn't matter about the yards. You don't win the game with yards. So, there's multiple times where, you know, we could have had some points and we didn't make it.
So from your perspective, why wasn't this game, when it's 22-0, a 40-point game?
Lack of focus. I think, you know, when you get up on teams, a sense of complacency can naturally come on you. And with the talent level in this league and the players, that are in this league, they will expose you. And, that's really what it's like week to week.
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting, Hugh, because he basically said, you know, that they got a little complacent there at 22-0. And then by the time they woke up, the Jaguars were in the game again.
Yeah, can't do that. Cannot do that. And that's why you have to maintain the focus. And like we talked about in the pregame show, you put your foot on somebody's neck, you keep it there.
Yeah.
You don't let up. I don't care who it is. This is the NFL, and it's any given Sunday. They say any given Sunday for a reason, and not for long for a reason. Because that Jacksonville, we'd have been feeling real crunchy this morning if that outcome of that game was something different than what it ended up being. We would be feeling real crunchy.
It would have been an all-time loss. I mean, Seriously, the biggest loss in franchise history, I believe, was 23-point blown loss. Yesterday would have been 22. I mean, they were this close.
Yeah, we'd have been, you know, everybody talking about, you know, being mad at the coach and don't get on the coach. We'd be talking about firing the coach today if he lose that game.
But the way people have reacted after a win today, yeah, that would have definitely been a similar.
Get him up out of here.
Let's hear from Zach Bond. He talked yesterday about how they maybe took their foot off the gas a little bit here.
Well, Zach, why do you think after such a strong start to let the Jaguars back in this game, what do you think was the reason for that?
I think we let our foot off the pedal a little bit. We got satisfied with what we were doing in the first half.
Told them not to drink the perfume, and they end up drinking the perfume. Joe.
No, I think the coach was drinking some of the perfume.
No, I mean, I'm saying you can't be drinking the perfume. You can't not take your own advice. Can't be drinking the perfume and thinking about how great you are, because, you know, I mean, hey, man, it changes. It's a week to week thing.
Well, the game does change quickly here. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, up, Will, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm happy to get that victory. It was close. But, you know, this is what I want to say to Sirianni. My grandmom always told me, you know, sometimes, well, you stepping on your own feet. You're going to be your own demise, right? And that's what's happening to Sirianni. He's on his way to his own demise. We tried to give him a pass this last week where we kept saying, oh, well, were we too hard on him? And I said, hell no, because we got to hold him accountable for what he's doing. Because later on in the season, it's going to cost us, and it may cost us big. But this is what I wanted to say also. Listen, we got to activate Dotson, man. Nobody ain't talking about that great catch he had yesterday. Everybody was so focused on Saquon, and, you know, he come from a different team the same way with Saquon. He probably was, you know, in a bad position on that team, but I feel as though he could be a big weapon here. He could be like a third man, go-to man, you know, bread and butter type guy. You know what I mean? And the thing with the tush push, and Sirianni, how the hell you don't see this? How do you got skinny Batman or Gainwell in there trying to push from the back? You need the 12 personnel in there. You know Mailata's not in there. You know Goddard's not there. So you need that tight end to push Jalen from the back. I mean, I've been watching that. I've been watching the tapes, and I've been watching the game, and I know that. So how don't you know that? You're the coach.
Like, yeah, and he has to stop thinking with the as many guys they have down that the tush push is locked in. Like last year, Will, it was like a 95% play. It's not anymore. So they keep doing it as if it's going to work every time, and it doesn't work every time anymore.
Right, and the whole thing is, man, like I said, know your players, man. Know your players. Know what they can do. And like you said, Hugh and Joe, it's just like, you know, you got Saquon there for a reason. Yeah, I'm going to run him three downs because I know he's going to get that first down for us as long as you put the right plays in. And the last thing, Sirianni, I asked you last week and a whole bunch of other fans said, to stay out of the way, let the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator do their job, and you get all the praise, dummy. That's all you got to do. Sit back, go for the ride, and get a championship. And everybody will praise you. And you may, just maybe, you'll keep your job. That's all I got.
Yeah, it seems like it's not that hard, and we're making it harder than it has to be. 215-592-9494. All right, so Will brought up Dotson, Hugh. And so we got some news this morning. You mentioned earlier that A.J. Brown, the Eagles got some good news, that it doesn't seem like it's a serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to leave the game. He didn't come back.
That's on my parlay.
He did kill the parlay. MRI for A.J. Brown. We'll find out results later. I have no idea what's going on. But just based on those things, when a player leaves a game, does it come back? They go for an MRI, and you hear things like, it's not serious.
He's going to be out for a couple weeks.
It's something, right? Yeah. Maybe it's minor, but it's something. Do we trust that Dotson's ready to step up?
He has to.
Well?
He has to. And I think that this offense has to. Whatever's happened with this offense, man, we have to make it as comfortable as possible for our quarterback and our running back.
That was a nice catch he had yesterday. That was a really good catch.
I thought it was an interception. At first, I thought it was an interception, and I was like, wow, he caught that. That's amazing. So hopefully that's his jumping off. That's his catalyst point, and we can get this thing going, man, because 6-2, I mean, it's not lost on me that this team is 6-2.
Yep.
I mean, we're in a good spot. We're in a sweet spot. What is that, a half a game out of first place?
Yeah, the Commanders are 7-2.
Yeah, so let's get it done. Let's get it done this weekend. Let's get locked and loaded for Dallas. It's Dallas week, baby.
It is Dallas
week. Dallas week.
And they're reeling. Dax hurt, yeah, CD's hurt.
We got a little thigh contusion or something.
What have I done to deserve this?
Yeah, they're down there trying to get people fired.
They're a mess right now. Let's go to TR in Winfield. What's up, TR?
What's up, y'all?
How we doing?
Pretty good. Man. Hugh, yes. You think you're a glutton for punishment, man. You saying you still on board, man. See what almost happened yesterday?
I'm still
not satisfied, man.
Listen, TR, I hear you, dog. I hear you. But yeah, I'm still in it. I'm still in it to win it. I'm still here.
I'm in it to win it too, man. But we can't go on with blind faith, man, after last year and right now what happened yesterday, man. Sirianni's kind of like in the way with these calls, man. Take the points, man. That's his win, man. He's trying to be a hero coach or something with this extra stuff he's going with these plays that, you know, doesn't make sense.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm with you, man. But I can't abandon ship now, dog. I gotta stay in it. I gotta stay until the end.
To stay on board is like,
it's like the Titanic, though. Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened to that? It sunk.
I didn't want to say it, but that's what I was going to say. But yeah, man. Right now, let's just get past Dallas and Washington and all that, and then we start talking like that. Right now, my eyebrows is raised just a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I ain't get no wrinkles in my forehead yet. You know.
Yeah, we got Dallas. We got to go to Dallas too, man.
Knock off them. Then I start thinking a little bit better right now. I just want to put myself in position to get my feelings hurt again. You know, I'm not satisfied because what Sirianni's doing. You know, I want to see more aggressive tackling when they get to the opposite from players' quarterback because they always trying to hurt Hurts. I keep saying that's been one good shot. Somebody hit somebody. I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, I think we're looking good, man. I'm not going to go against it. It's just that I don't want to get my feelings hurt.
It's okay to get your feelings hurt, man. It builds character. Like, just think about it like this. Remember when you were young and you were trying to holler at the cute cheerleader and you wrote her the note, do you like me, yes or no? And she said, no. And your feelings were hurt and your friends was laughing. It built character, though. It built character. It's a character builder.
But it hurt.
It hurt, but it still builds character. See, that's the problem with most, not you, TR, but most young men nowadays, they don't want to be rejected.
Mm.
Sometimes you got to get rejected and just tell yourself she missing out. She missing out on a good thing.
So you
and I want to
go ahead, TR. I just want to know where the analogy is going. We're all going to get hurt because of Sirianni.
Don't be afraid to get your feelings hurt.
That's not a great analogy.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's not good.
That's an awesome analogy.
But real fast though, and one more little thing I noticed that Saquon has to get back to that last run he had the last game when I think it was like 20-something yards. And he was on the side running towards the sideline. He ain't switching the ball over to his opposite hand yet when he running like he used to. If he'd have switched that ball, he'd have had a good stiff arm, but he didn't bring the ball to his left hand Why he's running down the field? I think he needs to get back to that too. They need to make him start moving that ball.
Yeah, he, no, he's look, TR, good phone call. Saquon's remarkable. We'll get to the other parts of his day yesterday, because he did have two weird moments yesterday within another great game by him, and he's having an all-pro kind of season. 215-592-9494. Howard's going to join us after the break. We'll see what he has to say about the game yesterday, how well the players played, and his guy, Nick Sirianni, taking 9 points off the board yesterday.
I don't give a shit.
Well, I do. Howard Eskin joins us next. Your phone calls away as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I think this is the only legit playoff contender where the coach is a question mark. The coach is a question mark. No coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. It's unacceptable that they continue, and beyond lucky that Trevor Lawrence throws that interception. Because if Trevor Lawrence leads their team down and they win that football game, I don't think Nick Sirianni's walking in Tuesday morning as the head coach of the football team.
Dan Orlovsky brought it this morning.
That fire.
Well, I mean, it's a strong way to say it. The way he framed it, no coach in the NFL takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. 9 yesterday. Hugh Douglas, 9 points. And I understand the idea he was trying to chase some, right, because they didn't get the first conversion. He's trying to get the second. But sometimes, don't you just need to have the coach take a deep breath? Like, hey, all right, we missed that one. Let's just put one on the board here.
You do something different.
Yeah.
But he doubled down. He was going out his way. Regardless of what happened, Nick... Well, Coach Sirianni, I should say, give him the respect that he just do. He decided to do it the way that he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he was being aggressive. And it didn't work. And it had me scratching my head, especially the first one. Had me scratching my head.
You're talking about the one when they're up 16-0?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're sitting on the field, and I'm trying to figure out, because at that point, we're looking at the box score.
Yep.
Because it was on the field. It was on the Jumbotron. They had like 32 yards total offense.
They couldn't move the ball the whole half.
No, the whole, and I'm like, why are you going for two? Just take the one and keep it moving, because they're not moving the ball. And I remember Troy said, man, they got 32 yards. dog, they got 32 yards in the first half.
Like, the idea is that team has no chance. Just stack the points and get out with a victory. All right, 215-592-9494. 10 minutes from now, a big Hugh breakdown. The way I saw it yesterday, there were 5 critical Nick Sirianni decisions. Actually, 6. We'll go with 6 critical Nick Sirianni decisions. 9 points could have been on the board if he did something different. Chose to do it the way he did. We'll go through the 6 of the decisions with Hugh coming up in about 10 minutes. His take on all of them and which ones kind of drove us the most nuts and which ones are defensible. I don't think they were all ridiculous, but in total, it's like watching a gambler and every one they just get wrong. Even if the idea was right, it's just loss, 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 and then you chase it. All right, Jabbo in Horsham's up. Hey, Jabbo.
We all need to relax. We are 6-2 on a 4-game winning streak. Okay, it's not how, it's how many. I mean, come on. How many teams right now would love to be 6-2?
Bunch of them.
Did you say this last year at 10-1, Jabbo, or did I imagine last season at 10-1?
We're not talking last year. We're talking right now.
But the point is, the point is. The record in early November, that doesn't matter. It's the details. How are you getting there?
And so that was in the details.
The issue last year was they weren't as good as their record. The issue this year is they have talent. Their talent is really good. It's better talent than last year. The coach is making mistakes left and right.
How about if you're 2-6 right now? Does that matter?
But they're not
2-6. Yes, it does. But we're not. We're 6-2.
Did you like the way the coach coached yesterday?
No, I didn't.
All right,
but we won, so everybody just shut up. Everybody, come on.
I guess that if we adopt that philosophy, Joe, then we ain't gonna have nothing to talk about.
He's not getting fired, And you, one thing too, I was listening earlier. It's the Commanders, not the Commodores.
Hey Jabbo,
he's right, Hugh.
Jabbo, this ain't Jabbo.
Not dumb like what?
This ain't my first radio. I know what I'm saying. I'm a grown ass man. I call them the Commodores. You call them the Commanders. I call them the Commodores.
Jabbo, anything else we screwed up? You'd like to correct?
I didn't know. I just thought, you know, you call him the Commodore.
No, I call him the Commodores. Yeah.
Jabbo, let me ask you a question. If Nakobe doesn't catch the ball and they lose that game,
what's your sentiment this
morning? Everything the same is the same.
But Nakobe did catch the ball.
We did this last year. This is why I point back to last year.
Joel.
We did this last year. We sat here like idiots with our heads in our you know where, and we said, oh, this doesn't matter. Look at the record. And then we came crashing down, Jabbo. We got to get better at the coach position. He's got to be better than this.
Hey, you, one more thing.
Yes.
Still there?
You're here. We're here, Jabbo. What's up?
Okay. You also said crazy like a fox.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
I don't give a shit.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy like a fox, Jabbo. It was a TV show.
No, Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
No, Jabbo. It was a show back in the day. It was called Crazy Like a Fox. I watched a lot
Come
of TV
on,
growing
man,
up.
Really?
It was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
1984-1986, yep.
Are you making that up?
No.
No.
Jabbo, I'm going to check you right now. Call
Jabbo,
you back.
This is a joke, I know, quite frankly.
It might sound like I make
Jack
up.
Jack Warden was in that. I love Jack Warden.
I pretend. But yeah, it was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
You got to go find that. You got to stream that, Jabbo.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now.
You go stream Crazy Like Vox. Jabbo, good phone call. I mean, listen, there's no reason not to be excited about where the team is going. I think it's okay Jabbo said that. And that's part of it. They have won four in a row. They did dominate the game in a lot of ways yesterday. Kyle brought it up. I mean, the game probably shouldn't have been as clear. That's the point. That's why there's some frustration out there, because we all watched the game, right? The Eagles were so much better than the Jaguars snap to snap. You said it, Hugh, they had 30 yards or whatever at halftime. Like, they dominated the box score. They had over 200 more yards. They had three or four players on the offense that are better than all the Jaguars players combined. They should have won this game by three scores.
Yeah.
Instead, we're biting our nails with a minute to go.
Yeah, and it was some questionable plays. Like, it was one play where they were trying to go for the first down, and they were going for a passing play. And Jalen Hurts is back there. There were no receivers open. And he's back there scrambling for his life. It was one of those games where you're happy you got the win. But like I said earlier, as a former player, you look at it and you're like, okay, what if you always do the what ifs? If we're playing a better team, then we don't get those opportunities. We gotta take advantage of the opportunities that we have, because to make the mistakes that we've made and to chase the points that we were chasing, that could put us in a bad spot.
So what was Crazy Like a Fox about? Was that they solved crimes?
You know, I don't remember. They were like detectives.
It was the father and son. They were detectives?
Yeah, they were detectives.
And their name were Fox, right? Harry Fox and Harrison Fox.
And the premise is they didn't seem like they were that bright, but actually they were pretty good at solving crimes and stuff. So that's what it was about.
So is Sirianni the opposite? Where he didn't...
No, Sirianni's crazy like a fox. What he's doing... Now, I don't... It's not lost on me that Coach Sirianni, for whatever we think about him, it's 6-2, and this team loves him. But I'm not in that building, so it's not my job to sit here and pound the drum for Coach Sirianni. I'm giving you the perspective as a former player, somebody that's played the game, and you're looking at it, and you're saying to yourself, this formula, although they're winning with it, this formula might not – it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not a sustainable formula when you're going out there making egregious mistakes, leaving 9 points on the board. But at the same time, like I said, as a former player, you look at him, hey, man, we got to win. Bottom line, that's how everybody in that building feels. I'm not in that building. I don't work for the Eagles. I work for Odyssey. And my job is to tell you what I see and how it is, and try to explain to you to the best of my ability what potentially is going on in that building.
So Jabbo got upset because I brought up last year. I actually think this is similar but way different than last year. Last year, I didn't even think they were that good. Like, despite the record, I didn't think the team, the players, were that good. I just thought it was a bad defense, and the offense was too up and down, and I just felt like, how could they continue to win?
Mm-hmm.
This year, Hugh, the more you watch it, this is a good roster. They have a lot of really good players. They have impact players. The defense is getting better, and they're growing. The concern now is, will the coach screw up what should be a lot? They have a lot of games down the stretch they should win, right?
Yeah.
Now, the next month is tough, but they'll play Carolina in December. They'll play the Giants. They'll play a Cowboys team that might just not be good at all twice. They got to make sure they don't blow games. And every time you watch Sirianni, you're like,
And just look at it
blow
from,
a game?
Look at it from this perspective. We went through a week of the last 4 weeks. We won 4 football games.
Yep.
We're on a roll. But think about the roller coaster ride we've been on with our head coach. He has his Britney Spears moment. He bounces back from that, and this team against the Cincinnati Bengals looks like they're on a trajectory where, you know, we're playing eastbound and south, south down and bound, getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. You know, and I'm feeling strong about that. We come back this week, and even though we won and the quarterback played well, there are still some things that reared their ugly head that got everybody a little bit concerned. Now, I'm still on board with the Super Bowl east, southbound, and down and all other stuff. But I think that since what we've been through last year, it's kind of foolish to just sit here and think that everything is okay. Because we've seen this. We've been down this road before as fans. We saw the collapse towards the end of the season. So to sit here and just say, oh, you know what? It's a win. That's fine. It is a win. But let's not be foolish to what happened last year, because we saw it happen last year and we stuck our head in the sand. Hell, we went to Tampa Bay and we stuck our head in the sand and we call it in. Tomorrow, oh, they're going to blow Tampa Bay Buccaneers out. Yada, yada, yada. And we got our asses kicked. We don't want to live that again. That's why people are not happy about what they saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the NFL in general, just the games are too close for him not to matter.
Exactly.
Right? Like as we come down the stretch of the season, they're going to be a lot better than some teams that they play, like the Giants or, you know, whoever. The Panthers they'll see in December. There's also going to be a lot of games. Maybe the Commanders game, the Rams game, the Ravens game, the Steelers game. And then whoever they play, you know, assuming they're going to be in the playoffs, where the game's going to be tight. And it's going to come down to a couple decisions here or there, when to be super aggressive, when to not. And it's very hard to have faith in the coach when it feels like...
Ask yourself this question, Joe.
I don't know what he's doing.
Ask yourself this question. If Andy Reid was on the other sideline coaching, and we made those egregious mistakes, do we come out with a victory with that game?
No.
Not taking a shot at Dougie P, but Dougie P is under fire right now down there in Jacksonville. And I saw a meme the other day where, you know, the Spider-Man meme where everybody's pointing at each other?
Yeah.
It was Doug and Coach Sirianni, like two of the same. They're both in a situation where they had a tremendous amount of success early on, and now everybody's starting to question whether or not, you know, what's going on. So I think it's fair to ask a question. If Andy Reid, if Sean McVay, if who's the other, Sean Payton on the other sideline, and we're playing those teams or playing those guys, do you think we still come out with a win?
No, probably not. Yeah, I think we're a couple weeks away. You know how we've done the run the ball chance? We're a couple weeks away from the take the points chance at the link.
Hell, I would even throw Dan Quinn in there. Coach Quinn.
Well, they're going to see him in 2 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Do we win that game? Because that quarterback they got down there, bona fide, looked like. He looked like he's bona fide.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence handing the ball to the Eagles at the end. That was a bad throw by Lawrence. It helped us get out with a win. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's do a little Big Hugh breakdown and go through, because the way I viewed it, there were 6 decisions yesterday by Sirianni that we could debate whether or not they were terrible, okay, not great. Hugh, let me throw them at you one by one.
Okay.
And then we'll kind of go through, did we think this was really bad, questionable, or were you okay with it? All right, let's start with the first one. They're up 10-0, 4th-and-3, and they, instead of going for the field goal, this is the second quarter, they go for the 4th. That's where Jalen threw it to AJ, and he kind of floated it, and it was knocked down by the defender. So instead of going up 13-0 on what would have probably been a 40-yard field goal.
4th-and-3.
4th-and-3. They throw it to AJ, incomplete. So instead of going up 13-0 on a field goal, it's 10-0.
I feel like in that situation, this is me. The way that Saquon Barkley was on a heater, I take my chance with him with the three carries.
So the
3 yard carry.
So you didn't mind going for it. You just would have done something different.
I would have done something a little different. I'd have done something a little different in that situation.
All right. I would have kicked the field goal, but all right, they want to be super aggressive. They
I mean, because that's kind of who Coach Sirianni is, so I really didn't have a problem with that.
So, but that was 3 points that could have been there that just weren't there. Mm-hmm. Next one, this is the one you brought up a couple times. Right before the half, there's a flag on the extra point. So I think this is the one where they literally took a point off the board, right? Mm-hmm. Because the extra point went through by Elliott. It was 17-0. Flag on the play. They move the ball up to the 1-yard line. Now you can go for 2 easier. They go for a Hugh. They don't get it. So the score stays 16-0. That one is one I think you were shaking your head like,
well, I didn't understand that one. To be honest, I was looking at that play, and I was trying to figure out what analytics is telling you to go for that two-point play in that situation when you're already up 16 points and that offense has not been moving the ball. And that's the main reason why the first one, I didn't feel like it was a bad situation. I felt like you should have went for it because that offense at that point was inept.
So, all right, you asked what analytics. I think it's as simple as this. When there's a penalty and the ball is moved to the one, it becomes a much easier two-point conversion, right? You could do a lot of different plays and just get 1 yard, including the tush push. So I get why he was probably inclined to do it. But that's where you got to read the room. Go up three scores. They've had 32 yards the whole game. All right, that was number two. So now at this point, we have 4 points off the board. The third decision here that I believe is the one most people were the most annoyed about, the Eagles go up 22-0. Unnecessary roughness on the Cisco guy in the second round. He takes out Fred Johnson's legs. Again, that was one where they moved the ball to the one-yard line. Hugh, they could have had a 23-0 lead. They said they go for the two. They don't get it, so it's 22-0. Now, the fourth decision, this is what I meant. This is the one people are most bad about. Jaguars cut it to 22-16. So, at this point, 5 points Sirianni's kind of responsible for. Jaguars cut it to 22-16. Fourth down try, 1:25 left in the third. They throw the ball. This is why I think where Jalen was pressured and he kind of runs
backwards. Yeah, he was running around. Yeah.
So that's one where they could have kicked
the
field goal.
Nobody was open. That was a bad.
They could have went up 9 points. They could have went up two scores again. Mm-hmm. And instead, they went for Kyle. I think that's the one, and you were probably the least of us today frustrated at Sirianni. That was the one I think got you, the 22-16, not going for the field goal.
Yeah, I mean, that just feels like so I'm never the kind of guy like, if you're going to be aggressive, always be aggressive. Or if you're going to be conservative, always be conservative. I think you need to have a feel for the moment and what each moment requires. In that moment, I felt the best thing for them was to make it a two-possession game. I mean, the going for it there or whatever. I mean, if you kick a field goal, you make it 9 points.
Yep.
And that puts it at a two-possession game. I just felt like that was the biggest one for me where I'm like, all right, dude, you know, that's not a time where you need to be aggressive and say, I trust the guys. Like, just get 9 points. You're leaking a little bit. You can sort of bring the momentum back in your favor or at least take it from the Jags. That one I didn't like.
So the devil's in the details for me, Hugh. If the Jaguars had scored on two offensive possessions in a row and you feel like their offense is revving up, maybe I get going for it. But one of those touchdowns was a defensive score, right? The Jaguars' offense really didn't get going game.
They didn't. And it was one of those things where you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out. Like, I'm not advocating to fire Coach Sirianni. I'm trying to understand analytics in this situation. I'm trying to understand what in this moment made you feel with this offense that was anemic as it was, made you feel like those were the right decisions to make in this moment.
So the fifth one, and this is probably the one I was least annoyed about, was when they scored the touchdown, the Devontae touchdown, right, to go up 28-16. I get why he went for two there, because you want to try to go up two scores again.
Yeah,
right?
I get that one.
Yeah, you want to go up 14. Now, they didn't get it, so it stayed a 12-point game. So those are the five decisions. You add it all up, it would have been 9 extra points if he just did it simply. Now, the last one, what did you think about the field goal by Jake Elliott, Hugh? Now, that wasn't one where he took points off the board. He tried to put points on the board. But that was a weird spot. That's a long field goal. He hadn't kicked
the whole game.
And they're up 5, right? So the field goal does not put you up 2 scores. You're still only up 8. You don't necessarily definitely win the game by making that field goal. Would you have kicked the field goal? Would you have punted? You could have punted.
I would have punted it. I would have tried to like what they call the directional punt and try to pin them as close as I possibly could to the end zone and do it that way. I didn't understand that. That's when it gets a little crazy for me because you're trying to kick the field goal. And if I'm not mistaken, you say 5, it'll get you 3. That's math.
8.
And if they'd have went for 2, we'd have been in a bad spot.
You only guarantee a tie at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, the other thing there is they could have went for that. After all the aggression, there's 3 options, right? Hugh said punt. They did go for the field goal. If they go for it, then they get the first down. They end the game. The Jaguars never get the ball back.
Yeah. I guess the thing about kicking the field goal there is if you don't get it, then the way that the defense was playing, I'm almost okay with taking the shot to try and get points there. I know by that point they'd let up that touchdown, and it was, well, 2 touchdowns, I guess, right? Because one of them was scored from their defense. But I did like the way the defense was playing enough to where you're like, I don't really care how much of the field the Jags have. Like, I can put my defense out there and trust them to make a stop.
No, it was one of those. But it's still, even with that being said, Kyle, you still was like, because we've been through that before. It was a little nerve wracking.
Well, I think this is the second time this season they've kind of iced Elliott, right? Where they don't use him for a while, and then they ask him to come in for it's not a 37-yard. It's not even 40. 57 is that's a long field.
I know. Well, look,
nice and long.
We talk about Jalen Hurts getting paid and you know taking his foot off the gas a little bit. This guy Jake Elliott, man. He's not nailing those 50-yarders this season like he had in the past.
Not too much golf for Jake Elliott or something? I don't know.
He did not lock in this offseason. Yeah, he got the paycheck and took off.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But six decisions by Sirianni that were wild yesterday. I think three of them were probably justifiable. Three I thought were just bad. Violet's in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Well, I agree with everything y'all said. I can see maybe going for one or two of those when we had the lead, and maybe he's thinking, hey, you know, it's good practice. But once they started getting back in the game, you need to take the points. I mean, you know, you can't mess around, especially when it comes down to when we play better teams, you have to take the points. But I'm really excited about the defense. Jalen is looking great. Barkley, oh my God! I don't even know where he came from.
He's special, Violet. They have some special players. I mean, I'm glad that's the reason to be excited. I mean, because they have players that if they play at their capability, Hugh, this team can make a real run.
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, I'm still bullish on this team, no question about it. And I'll take a win as a win all day long. I'm taking that.
I do want to say, Mr. Douglas, it is such an honor to be able to call and actually talk to you. I absolutely adore you. You're such an awesome player. I'm so glad you're an Eagle.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Violet, good call. We appreciate it. How about that?
Appreciation. She was gushing
I know.
That
I mean, you know, Kyle and I don't seem to have the same feeling every day when we talk to you.
No, the shine's worn off.
Yeah. Now you just
he's just one of the guys.
All the different kinds just of hues we of have
guys.
In here.
Yeah, just one of the guys.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Good call, Violet. All right, on the other side, your phone calls here. Plus, we got to hear from a couple of players. What happened? I mean, what happened? Was it just Sirianni, or were the players, you know, obviously partially responsible for the comeback by the Jaguars yesterday that made it such a close game? We'll hear from a couple of players what Lane Johnson and Zach Bond said about the end of that game. Howard Eskin joins us at noon. What hit you the most from yesterday? The Eagles winning and a lot of their stars playing really well? Or Nick Sirianni and the decision-making? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at noon, Howard Eskin. We'll get to some of the other extracurriculars around town coming up a little bit later in the show. And maybe a potential Eagle that could be moving out of here with the trade deadline tomorrow all coming up. But what happened in that second half? Why did the Jaguars get back in the game? Obviously, Sirianni's decision-making, taking some points off the board, part of it. Also, the Eagles had some tough moments in terms of, you know, they had the fumble, which led to the touchdown. You know, some weird things happened in that game. Let's hear from a couple players on maybe what went down second part of that game and why they got back in it. All right, let's hear from Lane Johnson on maybe how the Eagles should have scored a lot more than they did.
I felt like we left, you know, should have been a 40-point game. And I felt like the yards that we attained should have been a reflection of that. But it goes down to scoring points. It doesn't matter about the yards. You don't win the game with yards. So, there's multiple times where, you know, we could have had some points and we didn't make it.
So from your perspective, why wasn't this game, when it's 22-0, a 40-point game?
Lack of focus. I think, you know, when you get up on teams, a sense of complacency can naturally come on you. And with the talent level in this league and the players, that are in this league, they will expose you. And, that's really what it's like week to week.
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting, Hugh, because he basically said, you know, that they got a little complacent there at 22-0. And then by the time they woke up, the Jaguars were in the game again.
Yeah, can't do that. Cannot do that. And that's why you have to maintain the focus. And like we talked about in the pregame show, you put your foot on somebody's neck, you keep it there.
Yeah.
You don't let up. I don't care who it is. This is the NFL, and it's any given Sunday. They say any given Sunday for a reason, and not for long for a reason, because That Jacksonville, we'd have been feeling real crunchy this morning if that outcome of that game was something different than what it ended up being. We would be feeling real crunchy.
It would have been an all-time loss. I mean, seriously, the biggest loss in franchise history, I believe, was 23-point blown loss. Yesterday would have been 22. I mean, they were this close.
Yeah, we'd have been, you know, everybody talking about, you know, being mad at the coach and don't get on the coach. We'd be talking about firing the coach today if he lose that game.
There's no, but the way people have reacted after a win today, yeah, that would have definitely been a sentiment.
Get him up out of here.
Let's hear from Zach Bond. He talked yesterday about how they maybe took their foot off the gas a little bit here.
Well, Zach, why do you think after such a strong start to let the Jaguars back in this game, what do you think was the reason for that?
I think we let our foot off the pedal a little bit. We got satisfied with what we were doing in the first half.
Told them not to drink the perfume, and they end up drinking the perfume.
No, I think the coach was drinking some of the perfume
yesterday. No, I mean, I'm saying you can't be drinking the perfume. You can't not take your own advice. You can't be drinking the perfume and thinking about how great you are because, you know, I mean, hey, man, it changes. It's a week-to-week thing.
Well, the game does change quickly here. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's hey, up, Will. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm happy to get that victory. It was close. But, you know, this is what I want to say to Sirianni. My grandmom always told me, you know, sometimes, well, you're stepping on your own feet. You're going to be your own demise, right? And that's what's happening to Sirianni. He's on his way to his own demise. We tried to, give him a pass last week where we kept saying, oh, well, were we too hard on him? And I said, hell no, because we got to hold him accountable for what he's doing. Because later on in the season, it's going to cost us. And it may cost us big. But this is what I wanted to say also. Listen, we got to activate Dotson, man. Nobody ain't talking about that great catch he had yesterday. Everybody was so focused on Saquon. And, you know, he come from a different team the same way with Saquon. He probably was, you know, in a bad position on that team. But I feel as though he could be a big weapon here. He could be like a third man, go-to man. You know, bread and butter type guy. You know what I mean? And the thing with the tush push, and Sirianni, how the hell you don't see this? How do you got skinny Batman or Gainwell in there trying to push from the back? You need the 12 personnel in there. You know Mailata's not in there. You know Goddard's not there. So you need that tight end to push Jalen from the back. I mean, I've been watching that. I've been watching the tapes, and I've been watching the game, and I know that. So how don't you know that? You're the coach.
Like, yeah, and he has to stop thinking with the as many guys they have down that the tush push is locked in. Like last year, Will, it was like a 95% play. It's not anymore. So they keep doing it as if it's going to work every time, and it doesn't work every time anymore.
Right, and the whole thing is, man, like I said, know your players, man. Know your players. Know what they can do. And like you said, Hugh and Joe, it's just like, you know, you got Saquon there for a reason. Yeah, I'm going to run him three downs because I know he's going to get that first down for us as long as you put the right plays in. And the last thing, Sirianni, I asked you last week and a whole bunch of other fans said, just stay out of the way. Let the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator do their job, and you get all the praise, dummy. That's all you got to do. Sit back, go for the ride, and get a championship. And everybody will praise you. And you may, just maybe, you'll keep your job. That's all I got.
Yeah, it seems like it's not that hard, and we're making it harder than it has to be. 215-592-9494. All right, so Will brought up Dotson, Hugh. And so we got some news this morning. You mentioned earlier that A.J. Brown, the Eagles got some good news, that it doesn't seem like it's a serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to leave the game. He didn't come back.
That's on my parlay.
He did kill the parlay. MRI for A.J. Brown. We'll find out results later. I have no idea what's going on. But just based on those things, when a player leaves a game, doesn't come back, they go for an MRI, and you hear things like, it's not serious.
He's going to be out for a couple weeks.
It's something, right? Maybe it's minor, but it's something. Do we trust that Dotson's ready to step up?
He has to.
Well,
he has to. And I think
we'll
that
see.
This offense has to. Whatever's happened with this offense, man, we have to make it as comfortable as possible for our quarterback and our running back.
That was a nice catch he had yesterday. That was a really good catch.
I thought it was an interception. At first, I thought it was an interception, and I was like, wow, he caught that. That's amazing. So hopefully that's his jumping off. That's his catalyst point, and we can get this thing going, man. Because 6-2, I mean, it's not lost on me that this team is 6-2.
Yep.
I mean, we're in a good spot. We're in a sweet spot. What is that, half a game? out of first place?
Yeah, the Commanders are 7-2.
Yeah, so let's get it done. Let's get it done this weekend. Let's get locked and loaded for Dallas. It's Dallas week, baby.
It is Dallas
week. It's Dallas week.
And they're reeling. Dax hurt, yeah, CD's hurt.
That got a little, we got a little thigh contusion or something.
What have I done to deserve this?
Yeah, they're out there trying to get people fired.
They're a mess right now. Let's go to TR in Winfield. What's up, TR?
What's up, y'all?
How we doing?
Pretty good. Man, Hugh, yes. You think you're a glutton for punishment, man. You saying you still on board, man. See what almost happened yesterday?
TR, listen.
I'm still not satisfied, man.
Listen, TR, I hear you, dog. I hear you. But, yeah, I'm still in it. I'm still in it to win it. I'm still here.
I'm in it to win it, too, man. But we can't go on with blind faith, man, after last year and right now what happened yesterday, man. Sirianni's kind of, like, in the way with these calls, man. Take the points, man. That's his win, man. He's trying to be a hero coach or something with this extra stuff he's going with these plays that, you know, doesn't make sense.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm with you, man. But I can't abandon ship now, dog. I gotta stay in it. I gotta stay into the end.
To stay on board is like
the Titanic, though. Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened to that?
Yeah, it sunk. I didn't want to say it, but that's what I was going to say. But yeah, man, right now, let's just get past Dallas and Washington and all that, and then we start talking like that. Right now, my eyebrows is raised just a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I ain't getting no wrinkles in my forehead yet. You know.
We got to go to Dallas, too, man.
Out, knock off them. Then I start thinking a little bit better right now. I just don't want to put myself in position to get my feelings hurt again. You know, I'm not satisfied because of what Sirianni's doing. You know, I want to see more aggressive tackling when they get to the opposite of the player's quarterback because they always trying to hurt Hurts. I keep saying that. I've seen one good shot somebody hit. Somebody, I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, I think we're looking good, man. I'm not going to go against it. It's just that I don't want to get my feelings hurt.
It's okay to get your feelings hurt, man. It builds character. Like, just think about it like this. Remember when you were young and you were trying to holler at the cute cheerleader and you wrote her the note, do you like me, yes or no? And she said, no. And your feelings were hurt and your friends was laughing. It built character, though. It built character. It's a character builder.
But it hurt.
It hurt, but it still builds character. See, that's the problem with most, not you, TR, but most young men nowadays, they don't want to be rejected.
Mm.
You got to get rejected and just tell yourself she missing out. She missing out on a good thing.
So you
and I want to
go ahead, TR. I just want to know where the analogy is going. We're all going to get hurt because of Sirianni.
You got to get hurt. You got to feel hurt. Don't be afraid to get your feelings hurt.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
It's not good.
That's an awesome analogy.
But real fast though, and one more thing I noticed that Saquon has to get back to that last run he had the last game when I think it was like 20-something yards. And he was on the side running towards the sideline. He ain't switching the ball over to his opposite hand yet when he's running like he used to. If he'd have switched that ball, he'd have had a good stiff arm, but he didn't bring the ball to his left hand while he's running down the field. I think he needs to get back to that, too. They need to make him start moving that ball.
Yeah, look, TR, good phone call. Saquon's remarkable. We'll get to the other parts of his day yesterday because he did have two weird moments yesterday within another great game by him, and he's having an all-pro kind of season. 215-592-9494. And Howard's going to join us after the break. We'll see what he has to say about the game yesterday, how well the players played, and his guy, Nick Sirianni, taking 9 points off the board yesterday.
I don't give a
Well, I do. Howard Eskin joins us next. Your phone calls away as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 W.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.